found this on Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is not Aaron and not Faith. I'm looking to my sides and I don't see them. But who I do have with me today is a good friend of mine, Lydia Scher, who I've known for quite some time.
Hi, guys. Hope you're doing well tonight.
You may have heard her voice in the Larry Nemechek episode that came out just a couple days ago.
Yes, that was quite fun. Larry is an amazing guy, and we had so much fun talking about his project, Enterprise in Space.
And she said warp drive instead of, she said
hyperspace.
I can't even say the wrong word because I'm so used to saying the right ones for Star Trek. Anyway, she reached out to me the other day because she is doing a Kickstarter for a book. I know it's not a Star Trek book, but it's a fantasy novel.
Pretty sure that's copyright, the Star Trek stuff.
Hey, there's lots of Star Trek writers, just comic book writers. There's lots of books. I mean, there's tons of Star Trek books. You just got to get like a license of CBS and be like, yeah, that's cool. Let's do some, not fan fiction, but it's non-canon Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, this is urban fantasy, not science fiction.
Urban, so like Urban Dictionary, lots of birds from there are going to be in this?
No, urban fantasy as opposed to high fantasy, so it's like modern day people living in cities as opposed to Lord of the Rings fantasy.
So more Harry Potter-esque?
Yeah, more Harry Potter-esque. That's a very good description. However, Harry Potter was written for children, though it's loved by everybody. This one, the protagonist is in their mid-20s, so it's not really about children. It's about adults.
An adult urban fantasy novel.
No, don't say it's an urban fantasy novel, because that implies that there's like all sorts of sex and blood and all sorts of stuff. I actually write to be young adults.
That's going
to
be the fan fiction of people that start reading your stuff and then, okay.
Yeah. I just mean that the protagonists, the people in the book are grown up as opposed to being children's age.
Gotcha. So the book is going to be called Love, Lies, and Hocus Pocus.
Yes, that's the name of the series.
I'm sorry.
It's a 12-book series. I'm rather an ambitious overachiever. But I've plotted out a whole plot arc for all three seasons, which each have four books. So the first two, actually, are set to come out this April. Love, Lies, and Hocus Pocus Beginnings and Revelations. And then hopefully the next two, Allies and Legends, will be coming out late 2006 or early 2007. Early 2017.
So the ones that come after Revelations, like prequels, since the beginning and you get the end?
No. I mean, it's a linear series. Those are just the first beginnings, Revelation. Yeah, Revelations, that's just the last in the Bible. This Revelations means, like, they're discovering things. It's been the beginning and now they're discovering things. And then Allies, they start gathering their forces together, and Legends, they start discovering some pretty interesting things they weren't expecting to exist.
She's rubbing her hands together, mischievously, I think is the right word.
Yes. So those are the first four books. First two coming out in April. Next two, hopefully, end of 2016, early 2017, and then the other eight, which are seasons two and three, basically, will hopefully come out as fans ask for them. So if the series does well and people are wanting more, then I will go ahead and write them.
If they come, you will build it.
Yes, something like that. I don't know. I already have people whining at me to hurry up and publish books one and two, so I think there's going to be the desire there. It's just a matter of doing it. But as you said, I'm running a Kickstarter right now. I'm a self-publisher. I'm an indie author, so I'm paying for everything out of pocket up to this point. Professional editor, professional cover artist, professional formatter, and I've obviously run out of personal funds. So to cross the finish line and get them actually printed and in your hands, I'm doing this Kickstarter to help pay for the printing costs, some of the publishing fees, and you know, like some advertising, so we can pay to go to like conventions and sell them and stuff like that. So that's what the Kickstarter is for. And we've actually already made great progress. Kickstarter started on Tuesday, and we're already at 54% funded. So that's really, really great progress. It's a really good start. Now we just have to keep that momentum going for the rest of this month and finish out. And that is our minimum goal is $2,750. So $2,750, about 50 cents there.
So as you said, Tuesday, that would be as of last week, as of the time
this. This week. It's literally been Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's been 4 days.
Well, but by the time they hear this, it'll be last week.
Oh, yes. You're right. It would have been last week. We've done really good for the first week here, and I'm hoping to meet our minimum goal, and I'm really hoping that we blow it out of the water and reach some of our stretch goals so I can do things like print shiny embossed hardbacks and make replica truth coins. One of the characters is a witch, Sebastian Blackwell, and he's got this silver, about the size of a silver dollar coin that his father gave him that that gets warm when someone's lying. So he keeps it in his pocket. And he always knows if someone's telling the truth or not. And it's all engraved with, you know, magical runes that I've created. So
liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, exactly. So it does not set his pants on fire. It gets kind of painful if someone's really lying, but it does not set his pants on fire.
He should be able to direct the heat and make their pants catch on fire.
That would be nice, but that's more of a wizard thing to do, which we may discuss later as far as my magic system go. Wizards and witches have very different abilities. But if we meet our stretch goals of about $5,600, I'll have enough money to actually mint a run of these truth coins and have physical, nice heavy silver coins to send out to my top backers that are replicas of what Sebastian uses. So we can do some real cool stuff. Just share the campaign around to all your friends who like fantasy fiction, and hopefully we'll meet those goals.
That'd be awesome. I like little knickknacks, collectibles, things like that. That's pretty cool. So, is it set? He said it's modern time, but I mean, modern time could be, you know, it could be anything after, you know, like, you know, 1600.
No, it is. It is set in present day. Lily Singer, the protagonist, is a wizard. He's the archives manager of Agnes Scott College in Atlanta, Georgia. So it is set in modern day, and she is an introvert, would really just rather stay hiding in her library, only she has this friend, a witch, Sebastian Blackwell, who gets up to a lot of trouble. And so she spends a lot of time getting him out of trouble, having him help her avert magical mayhem, undoing 100-year-old curses and saving a town that's been lost in time and all sorts of cool adventures. She also has a talking cat named Sir Kipling.
Atlantis?
No, not Atlantis. Just Atlanta.
They're gonna. reminds me of Futurama episode. It's like the missing city of Atlanta.
Missing city. Well,
at the bottom of the ocean.
Atlanta doesn't get lost in time. Actually, Pitts. If you know anything about Georgia, there's a tiny, tiny town called Pitts that is actually the site of the time loop disaster, where they get kind of lost in a time loop that they have to get rescued from. So,
do you know what needs to get lost in time? Flint, what? Michigan.
You know what? If I'd ever been there, I'd probably agree with you.
Not to be too topical, but their water crisis is they just need to be disappeared. Like, that's so many horrible, like, bad planning ideas. You said you had a magical system. We talked before the show. So she said she had some magical system that's based in reality. Like we're like. It's science. It's science once we understand it.
Yeah. Well, kind of the idea is you've got magic like Harry Potter magic, where it's literally whatever the heck she wanted to happen, there's a spell for it. You know,
fixing glasses. There's always a spell for fixing glasses.
And Molly Weasley conjuring dinner out of thin air. You know, wave her wand and a pudding appears. So that's not really science based magic. It's just it's magic. There's not really any scientific explanation to how that could work.
3D printing.
3D, sort of.
She just transports it.
But where was the 3D printer? That's the question. So anyway.
In the car.
Yes, we can go further down that road, but I don't think that's what J.K. Rowling had in mind when she wrote the book. So you've got magic where it's just it does whatever you want it to do. No explanation is needed. I really like fantasy based in science. And so my magic system is constrained by very real truths about the world, like gravity, you know, the laws of, you know, thermodynamics and just these kind of ideas to where you can't just create something out of nothing. You know, if you're going to heat something up, the heat has to come from somewhere. It's going to make the air around it cold. It's going to use your body heat, stuff like that. So it's kind of using scientific ideas, not necessarily real science. You know, it could be like science fiction kind of science, like you've got lightsabers. That's not real science yet, but it's very scientific based. So the magic system is very scientific based in that sense, and constrained by realities. And as is often said in the book, magic is just science that we haven't figured out yet. So, I'm pretty sure middle-aged people would say planes are magic.
So you're also saying we also talked beforehand about teleportation. What's your take on teleportation?
Well, you know, that's something I've struggled a little bit in my books because on the one hand, I'd like to have it. It's a really useful mechanism to have, like apparition in J.K. Rowling's book. You know, you've got your rules about how you can apparate. You have to know where you're going beforehand. You have to be able to see it in your mind. You can't just randomly, you know, go somewhere. You have to have some sort of marker to think about to go somewhere. But you can basically apparate anywhere. And you can apparate it with whatever you're holding on to. So there are some rules, but generally you can do whatever you want. Well, people can't really do that. And scientifically, that's not really possible. And so as of now, there is no such thing as instant magical travel in my book so far. I'm thinking about doing some kind of portal system, perhaps a magical portal of some kind, like wormhole kind of thing. Right now I do have, there are multiple dimensions, not really talked about too much in the first two books. We're going to get way more into it, having to do with the Fey realm versus the realm that the humans live into. So it's kind of, we've got a little bit of dimension jumping there when the Fey become involved. Which can also be sort of science-based, depends on your views on alternate realities. But I like kind of mixing in those sorts of ideas into the mix. So no, there's no apparition, there's no teleportation, but I may play around with some, you know, possible wormhole technology sort of thing.
Well, because the way we were kind of...
Stargate. Think Stargate.
Stargates. Dial the planet number with the Stargate, yes. And just jump right through. The reason I wanted to bring up the teleportation is because we were just having an interesting conversation about it before, where I was like, "Well, I love teleportation, but it's just like they got to kill you at one end and reassemble you at the other one." It's just like,
another, yeah.
Is that
That's interesting because in, you know, Harry Potter verse, you know, that's not what's happening. You just disappear and reappear in another place. But there's no way to even begin to scientifically explain that. So that's kind of the constraints I choose to put on my magic system is that I want people to be able to imagine, oh, this might actually be possible. For instance, I have Lily Singer at one point creates a ward bracelet. What it is she has eight aluminum beads. She uses aluminum because it's a metal that has a great energy potential. So its ability to retain the magical energy is far greater than a material like, you know, like iron, for instance. Aluminum has high energy potential. And so aluminum beads carved with Dimmu runes. Dimmu is a word in the original language that I've created that is... It's basically runes of power, the written system for the magic. So carved, inlaid with these Dimmu runes, controlling the spell, woven into a bracelet. And what she does is she's making this ward bracelet. She's casting the spell. It's a very long and involved process because she's pouring her magical power into this ward such that, you know, it can not only just provide a shield. It's like almost a physical shield to magic. Not physical shield, I would say magical shield. But if needed, she's got a little auxiliary thing written into it to where if she needs to, she can actually channel her own energy into it, almost like a backup generator. So I kind of use these scientific ideas, you know, taken from some of my favorite science fiction and fantasy science fiction universes like Honorverse. I'm not sure if you're familiar with David Weber, but he writes some really cool science fiction naval battles. And then, of course, Star Wars with your... you know, shield generators and everything. So using these scientific ideas in my magic system is something I really enjoyed writing.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
So one thing you were asking about earlier was also kind of with the magic and, you know, is teleportation or whatever, you know, allowed, that sort of thing. I am working some Arthurian legend into my story. Arthurian legend is something that I've always been really interested in, kind of the Middle Ages sort of thing, Arthurian legend, and the idea of Avalon. You know, I was talking about kind of different dimensions and different planes and toying with this idea. I mentioned the time loop that this town gets stuck in, this sort of ability to create a alternative timeline that is parallel to our timeline yet separate. It's in the same place but in a different time. Therefore, you can kind of be in the same place but not be because you're in a different time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like going back and forth in time, but not quite the same. It's more of a looping thing. So as opposed to moving to a different point in time and then going forward linearly, you're just kind of stuck in a loop that keeps you in the same place until you step out of it and jump back to the current timeline. But the idea of Avalon being like stuck in an eternal time loop where you can enter and leave it, but it's a sort of refuge. So I've kind of taken that Arthurian legend that will come in later into the books with some major powerful wizard characters that help, you know, move the plot along and help Lily save the world from the various magical evil forces that are trying to
take her out of the library.
Yeah, to gain power and subjugate humanity and, you know, all that. That's what evil, powerful people always want to do. So
they want to take her out of the library.
Yes. Well, I mean, they really don't want to take her out of the library.
Part.
They want to just blow the library up with her in it, by, you know, by preference. But yes.
But if that happens, she would still be outside the library.
Yes, that's true. So Lily often has to face the dilemma of she would really rather just not get involved and just make everything go away. But she knows that she has the ability to help. She has been gifted with these powers and really can't justify not stepping in, even though she doesn't really want to. She'd rather hide in her library. So that's kind of a constant struggle for her.
So if she goes to the alternate universe time loop, she can avoid the library being blown up.
She could. However, that's not much of a life, staying in an eternal time loop. So it kind of depends on your view. Some people like that idea. Some people don't. I'm one of the people who would not like living that sort of life and would rather just face reality, face what actually happens than rather, you know, trying to get all crazy in Doctor Who and, you know, change time multiple times, so many times that, you know, you've got all these different realities going back and forth and mind-bending, so...
Are you a fan of the Wheel of Time series?
You know, I tried to get into it. I read the first couple books, and while I enjoyed the story in general, I found it to be a little bit slow-paced and a little bit hard to get into. I've got a lot of other huge favorites in the fantasy world. Patrick Rothfuss with Name of the Wind, a lot of Brian Sanderson's books, and, of course, Tolkien being one of them that I just never really got into the Wheel of Time. Even though Brandon Sanderson did write the last Wheel of Time book.
Three.
Where he contributed to it. Last three, really? Okay.
Well, it was supposed to be the last book, but it got to be so long that they actually broke him up into three. I'm on the first of his books, the ones that he, like, you know, wrote and you know, Jordan Stead. I mean, Jordan had lots of notes and, you know, like,
yeah.
I guess he knew it was coming. So he was able to get like, the story out.
Yeah.
The outline out. Then he just kind of filled in
yeah.
the gaps.
It's not so much that I think it's a bad story. It was a very interesting story. But at the end of, you know, the first book, I just remember thinking, you know, after all that, it was interesting, but I don't really feel attached to the characters. Like, I wasn't in love with any of the characters enough to want to keep reading. Like, it was interesting. It was a well-put-together story. But whereas you fall in love with, you know, Harry Potter, Sirius Black, you know, you fall in love with Hermione Granger. Like, you fall in love with these characters and want to be involved in knowing what happens to their life. I just didn't really care about any of the characters enough to want to keep reading all 600 books that came out after.
It's been like I read it like the first one in like the 90s, so
yeah,
like
way
like
and
I,
it's been a while since I read the first couple, so
like, you know,
maybe
like
I'll try it again.
I don't remember if like I instantly loved the characters, but I thought it was good enough to continue on with it. And the way my friend pitched it to me, he's like, you like Star Wars, right? It's like, if I had to pick between Star Wars and Wheel of Time, I would pick Wheel of Time over Star Wars.
Aww.
This guy, like, no, but you know, at the time he was pitching the books to me.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, on whatever the most recent one was at that time. So probably like 6, 7, maybe, you know, at that time. So, you know, I really got into it. Like, it kind of went down for me at book 9. It took me forever to get through that one. And then I pretty much started audiobooks recently. So I got 9, 10, 11. So I'm just going to listen to them going forward.
Yeah.
And I would recommend that. Maybe you like the characters more.
Yeah, maybe I'll go back and read it as audiobooks. I really like audiobooks. I can listen to them while I'm doing the dishes, while I'm cleaning up after the cat, while I'm, you know, doing the laundry, whatever. A lot of things that I like that I like to listen to audiobooks while I'm doing that. And I am actually looking into right now finding a reader to create audiobooks out of my books once they publish. I'm kind of conflicted because on the one hand, I kind of want to read them because my mom read audiobooks and I kind of grew up knowing how to do that kind of. And so I almost kind of want to do it myself. It would save me money and it would be fun. But at the same time, I'm like, would people think it weird if the author read her own book? Like, I don't know.
Some authors do it.
Like that? Yeah.
Yes. Some are read by the author.
And the only problem is I cannot do a convincing Southern accent. I can do British just fine, but a convincing Southern accent, I just can't pull it off. So I'd have to practice that a lot.
Yeah. Doing a Southern drawl.
Well, like I can do like the Alabama stuff.
Alabama?
But Georgia, it's the Atlanta accent. It's the Atlanta, Georgia accent that's Southern, but it's Georgia, Atlanta.
Wait. The Atlanta. Don't
be mean. Come on. Don't be mean. Atlanta. Don't be mean. Which is one reason why I set the story in Atlanta. Because my husband loves it so much, he wants to move back there someday. Just his love for the area. And he actually dated a person who went to Agnes Scott College and was constantly being kicked off the campus because it's a women's college and guys aren't allowed to hang around, which is one thing that happens in the book. Sebastian gets run after by security at certain points. And he he sneaks into Lily's office and he's like, I dare you to tell security. And she just kind of glares at him. So because she works at a women's only college and men that aren't, staff. There's no male students. There's a little bit of male staff, like there's male security guards, but men that aren't being accompanied by a chaperone are not allowed to hang around campus. So that's another dynamic that I kind of bring in from the real world in the books. That's a lot of fun to work with. So it's just a fun series. It's a brand new world as far as, I've got a lot of background on angels, demons, and fae, how they work into our current reality, their different dynamics in relation to the magic system, which, by the way, is based on ancient Sumerian lore, and my rune system is based off of cuneiform. I'm not sure if you've heard of that, but it's the ancient writing script that they used back in the Mesopotamian era.
I watch Ancient Aliens. I know what that stuff is.
Okay. One of the Kickstarter rewards is that the backers at a certain level and above, they will send me a tweet-length sentence or phrase. The tweet length is 140 characters. Anything they want. It could be, I love you, Lucy, or it could be, Star Trek rules the world or whatever, 140 characters. And I will translate that, or I will transcribe that into my Demirune script, stamp it on a clay tablet for you, hand stamp it out and bake it and send that to you. That's one of your rewards. You've got a custom clay tablet with these Dimmu runes, and that says whatever. I'll mail you the translation transcription. You can like post it up by the tablet.
Then you put it on your mantle and you have guests over, and then the guests are like, whoa, what is that? I'm like, that's ancient Sumerian stuff, man. That's totally. And it says something ridiculous because you wrote it, but the couple people that listen to this podcast, they won't know. You can just tell them, you can tell them anything. It says it says Gilgamesh was the best,
something like that. So that's just one of the things I really like, getting into the whole role playing and cosplay and having like physical things from the story that you can kind of create and make you make your own. I actually have created my characters in the story with cosplay in mind, making sure there are plenty of little quirks and costume things that people can create in real life if they ever wanted to cosplay the characters. Because I like cosplaying my favorite characters from stories. I'm always like, okay, where's that, like, that one jacket or that one tattoo or that one little thing they're always playing with that I can create to be seen as that character.
So. Cosplay is awesome. I love cosplay. And Faith Hertzberg, our co-host, normally would be here. She is a cosplayer herself, and runs Faithful Creations. And
I'm actually tomorrow I'm going to be on a cosplay zine podcast. Tomorrow, I believe they're going to be interviewing a bunch of cosplayers, so I'll be all decked out and cosplay and on camera and, you know, talking about cosplay stuff. So that's a lot of fun.
I love cosplay. I really respect people that do that, and I love the work and the dedication and how cool it is, like, to see, like, them bring the characters to life.
Yeah, yeah. And so I appreciate you taking time to talk to me. I hope people are maybe a little bit more interested about checking out my books. You can, again, it's Love, Lies, and Hocus Pocus, and the Lilith Singer Adventures. You'll probably, you'll provide links, I'm sure, below this podcast where people can, like, go and click on it. Check out my Kickstarter.
We'll put them there. Kickstarter will go in there, too.
Runs until March 3rd. But go ahead and support it as quickly as you can. Some of the tiers are limited, so you only have a limited time to get some of those really cool rewards, signed artwork, signed and numbered copies of the book, and know that you've supported an amazing new, you know, fantasy world and fantasy story. So, thank you so much for listening. Thanks so much for having me on the show, David. And I'm on Facebook. I have my own website. I'm on Twitter.
You can find her everywhere.
Yeah, I'm everywhere.
And we'll put all these in the show notes.
I'm in your bedroom. Okay, maybe not the bedroom.
But before we let her escape, though, this is a Star Trek podcast.
Oh no, you're rolling that out. Oh, boy. All right, we've got Star Trek.
So what was your first experience with Star Trek?
So, don't laugh. William Shatner. So I was.
What do you mean, William Shatner? I mean, of course he was Kirk, but what do you mean?
Okay. Well, the Shatner memes. I grew up on the periphery of the Shatner memes. I never watched the original series growing up. I was kind of, my family were kind of like the Star Wars fans. But the Shatner series was just everywhere. I always knew who William Shatner was. Not even Kirk. I knew who William Shatner was.
It's hard to not know who William Shatner is.
So eventually, I was like, well, what's the Star Trek stuff? So eventually, I went, like, high school and college, and I started making my own, you know, inroads in fantasy and science fiction. I did watch a couple episodes. And, you know, not seeing them originally when they happen, when you go back and watch them for someone who didn't grow up with them, you're like, oh, wow, that's terrible CG. But it's so cute. It's so original. It's so cute. Kind of like watching the old Doctor Who episodes. So I watched a couple episodes, but then I really got into it when the new movies came out. So basically I'm a convert because of the new movies with the kind of the reboot.
See, this is great. This is what I like to hear. The movies bring people to Star Trek, and there's a lot of, you know, rife between the fans. Some people are like, oh, if you like the JJ movies, you're not a Star Trek fan. I'm like, I like the new JJ Star Trek movies. Mm-hmm. I'm a Star Trek fan. I run a podcast. How many of you people are making content and call yourself Star Trek fans? I could just say, I could turn around and say, you're not a real Star Trek fan unless you make Star Trek content. And that would be ridiculous of you to say. Just like it's ridiculous to say if anyone likes Star Trek, anything Star Trek, they're a fan.
Yeah, anything Star Trek. And I really, really liked, I love seeing the backstory of these characters that I knew about and I was familiar with the storyline. But it was amazing getting to see kind of the backstory of these characters, especially Kirk, you know, and seeing like that moment in the first of the new movies, kind of his father, and then him growing up and how he kind of came into his own as captain. And then Spock, of course, Spock. I just loved kind of seeing Spock and Kirk and their interaction of getting to know each other long before what the old fans originally saw after, you know, they'd already had their relationship established, kind of seeing the young Spock. I love the young Spock. I love that actor. Did you ever see that commercial where the young Spock actor and the older Spock actor had like a race to see who could get
to the golf course quickest? Yes. That's like the best commercial of all time, because Because Leonard Nimoy is also singing the Bilbo Baggins song that he recorded back in the 70s.
And so that's
an in joke if you've ever seen that video. Like, I can't believe they did that awesome in joke on a commercial for something Leonard Nimoy did back in like the 70s or 60s. It was like ridiculous. It was hilarious. Yeah. That made it one of my favorite commercials ever. So you said it got you back into it. So have you started like going back to watch old, you know, some of the old shows?
I haven't yet. Not really because I wanted to, but just because of time constraints. Netflix doesn't have any of the old Star Trek, does it?
Netflix has every single episode of every single Star Trek series ever.
Oh, it does. Okay. Well, then I'm good to go. I am a Netflix subscriber, so I've got everything I need. It's just I've been working really hard on getting these books published for a long time, and now everything's kind of coming to a head, and I don't have any time to read anything at all. But yeah, I've not yet gone back to kind of rewatch all the original stuff. I did get into the Next Generation stuff a little bit.
Next Generation is great.
I love it. And for those who may not know me or know this about me, but I play the ocarina, which is if you don't know the ocarina, think Legend of Zelda.
Shame on you if you don't know what ocarina is.
Yeah, I know. Some people don't. Like, what? And I'm like, Zelda. Like, oh.
I'm ocarina shaming.
Yeah, I'm ocarina shaming.
Sorry.
And so I play the ocarina, and I'm just right now learning the Next Generation theme song on my ocarina. Not done with it yet, but I'm working on it. So I've enjoyed really getting into the Next Generation stuff and learning more about some of the more esoteric parts of that and the different timelines and the non-canon stuff and the canon stuff. And
I want to, like, once you learn the Next Generation one, I want you to do the Deep Space Nine one. I love the Deep Space Nine intro.
Deep Space Nine is good. I love the scope. Like, the Next Generation one, I just love the scope and, like, the high notes and the... It's very what's the word I'm looking for? Very majestic. Is that the right word?
It's majestic. It's almost flamboyant. It's just like, yeah, it's like flamboyant. I am Star Trek. I am here. I mean, it was because it came off, you know the huge gap from the shows in the 60s. I mean, they had the movies, and Star Trek IV is what actually gave them the green light to do a new show. But the show hadn't been on TV since, you know. There's like a 20-ish year gap between, you know, 69 and like 80 something or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's a big gap. Kind of like the Doctor Who gap, but not even worse than that. So
Yeah, it's a long gap. And then, you know, there's been a 10-year gap between Enterprise and the new show when that airs next year.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's exciting stuff. So I'm looking forward to getting more into the universe, a little bit of a latecomer to it. But, I mean, you know, and any kind of fanverse is new fans, old fans. So.
Well, once you've had time to watch a little bit more and you have, you know, an episode that you really liked or thought would be really interesting to talk with, maybe we can have you on just to talk about that episode.
Yeah, I'd absolutely love that. Just maybe after my book's published and I have a social life again. We'll see.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to have an episode you'd want to talk about, so we have to assume this.
Yes. Get social life back, watch Star Trek, come back on the show, absolutely. Well, I, you know, love hanging out with you and love talking, so just, you know, hit me up, remind me, and I'll definitely, we'll get together. And maybe by that time I'll have my Next Generation theme on my ocarina mastered, and I'll treat you guys to some ocarina music.
Ooh, that'd be pretty cool, because I heard a demo of it earlier, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was going to say, if you like Star Wars at all, I currently have a Star Wars medley on YouTube right now. If you just search my name, Lydia Scherer Star Wars, on YouTube, I actually won first place in the STL Awaken Your Ocarina video contest, and I won $300 for it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's the Star Wars main theme, Imperial March, Binary Sunset, the Ewok Victory Feast, and then I do a reprise of the main theme. So it was a lot of fun.
No Jabba's theme?
You know what? It's cute. It's fun. But some songs don't sound very well. Don't sound very good on the ocarina. And that was kind of fun.
Since it was written for a tuba, I don't know how it would sound on an ocarina. Yes.
That's exactly. Any music that's written for violins or piano usually does real well on an ocarina, but stuff that has a lot of drums or trumpets, not so much.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me. Thank you so much for joining me with Larry Nemechek and rescuing me as co-host. in that episode.
Poor thing. Yeah, your other co-host kind of had to pull out for unfortunate reasons.
Life happens hard sometimes. So thank you for joining me on that and speaking with me now about your books.
Yeah,
and I know it's a little bit different, guys, but a couple of you said you don't mind hearing something different, like we did our Spaceballs on our Star Wars episode. So here, let's a little bit of high fantasy for you.
Yep. And a little bit of science worked into the high fantasy. Definitely. Thanks so much for having me. Hope a couple of you guys just go check out the Kickstarter, get in on that. And even if, it's not something you get in on, maybe if you've got friends who like fantasy, just share it with them, share the link around and tell them about it. Cause you never know who might want to get in on it. And we just want to share the news.
Yeah. Don't forget to tell them about, cuneiform writing that they can lie to their friends about that came from Mesopotamia. This is real.
Oh, and my cat stars in the intro movie. She magically appears out of window blinds at the end. So watch the Kickstarter intro movie and see cat magic.
That's science at its finest.
Absolutely.
Anyways, guys, all her stuff will be in the show notes, of course, and she recapped it earlier. And, check out the show notes so you can get in touch with her and check this out. It looks like a really fun project.
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me, David. It was great to talk about these things. I look forward to maybe being on the show again.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Thank you for joining us. And anyways, guys, thanks for listening. Live long and prosper.
Thank you all for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at SynthaholicDuo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. You're the best drinking friend I've ever had.
Oh, it's funny because I don't drink, but anyway. Maybe I am your best drinking friend because I don't drink, and then I drive you.
You can
home.
Just so take. You can just.
David, you can come in now, David.
You can just take me home.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, David.
You're talking to David. I'm David. Hi. Hi, David. I'm David.
Duncan, who's an old friend of my older sister, Sarah, which is how I know him. This is my husband, David, who has patiently waited for me to be done to come back in the room.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. What?
So, yes, he likes your shirt.
Oh, yes. Star Trek. Trek yourself.
Let me take my headphones out.
Yeah, I like the Trek Yourself shirt.
Thank you.